We have reached the end of the legislative session for 2013. I guess a generic overview, as it were. What passed and what didn't in terms of importance for the folks in the 21st Senatorial District, Senator?
The legislative session ended on May 17th at 6 o'clock, and our 18-week session is done. Now the governor and his staff will kind of look at what bills that they want to sign. They have till about mid-July to do that. And then any bills that the governor vetoes, we have a chance to override during the veto session in September. As usual, there were some bills that passed and some that did not pass. We passed the budget a week prior on May the 10th, and we have a balanced budget, and so I think that's very positive for the state.
More specifically, are there any issues, any bills that you're glad to have seen make it to the governor's desk this year?
Well, obviously the budget is very important, and the governor does have the opportunity to make some line item decisions and to reduce some things, but overall I think that's very good. There will be some things that the governor's going to take a look at that might be controversial, that if he does veto, we might have a chance of overriding that. One would be an automatic deduction of union dues. That's called paycheck protection. That passed in the legislature, and the governor more than likely will veto that, and then we'll see if we can come back and override that. It basically says that if you're going to automatically deduct for union dues, you have to, on a yearly basis, make that as a written declaration as opposed to just an automatic thing done. One thing, another bill deals with foreclosure mediation. St. Louis County basically said that they want to have an arbitration procedure, a mediation procedure for home foreclosures, which really I think could be very counterproductive. I think that would really dry up home lending in areas where I think we need to have houses move and houses sold. And it also just creates an unnecessary burden. Politically, I think it's a bad step because then that is basically circumventing the whole financial statutes that we have in our state and having some cities and counties supersede that. So that's going to be one that I think will have a lot of attention. And then the abortion drug RU486, we basically said that a doctor needs to be there when that's administered and to help, because it can be very controversial and very dangerous. And so those are some things that I think we're going to take a look at.
When you look at the list of bills and see those that, as you mentioned, that did pass, are there some that you wish had made it through?
Well, on the last day of the session, there's only so much time to get things done. I counted up. We had about 65 House bills that still need to be heard on the last day. There's just not that much time to hear them all, especially one of them took about 3 hours just in and of itself. And so you're just not going to have the time to get that done. A couple of disappointments that I felt. One dealt with tax credit reform. We have some 63 tax credit programs. That's about $650 million in reduced revenue to the state. Most of them are good, but I think some of them need to be reined in and we need to put caps on them. Due to a conflict between the House and the Senate, we did not come up with tax credit reform, and I think that's regrettable. I think that we need to reduce at least two of the main ones, which is historic preservation and low-income housing. And then on the last day, we also did not pass a transportation bill. To me, you get what you pay for. And if we're not willing to make an investment in our roads and highways, then that will be a reflection on our state. And we'd already passed it in the Senate once to put it up to the vote of the people for an increase in sales tax. It went over to the House, it came back to the Senate, and there was a filibuster, so we didn't get that done. So those two things were a disappointment that we didn't get done in the final few hours of the legislative session.
You had some legislation as well, in addition to the education legislation, that were pretty big deals, and I believe they were successful this year, too.
A couple of pieces of legislation that I sponsored that passed. One was Senate Bill 161, which dealt with creating an actuarial study for eating disorders. I think we all think that if we treat eating disorders early, that it will save lives, save quality of lives, and save money. But what we want is an actual study, an independent, objective, third-party study that shows that if we intercede early, that we will save the state money. And so that was a very good piece of legislation that passed. Also, Senate Bill 9, which creates the opportunity to create extension councils. That could be one county or multi-counties getting together to create a funding mechanism to support extension. Especially in the 21st Senatorial District, extension is very strong, but yet we need to make sure that if there are other ways to fund that, to have some local funding, it would do that. So I was thrilled that both of those pieces of legislation passed on the final day of the session.
In terms of education, anything that you feel is a highlight for the year?
Well, for education, we did put another $67 million in the foundation formula. The foundation formula is still not fully funded, but that still is the highest amount ever put in for K through 12, so that's positive. About $26 million for higher education, so that was good as well. As far as policy decisions, Senate Bill 125 was an excellent piece of legislation, which I fully supported, and some of the language which I've been working on for 2 years was put in that bill, which basically allows the Kansas City School District, which is unaccredited, to be taken over by the State Board of Education. That will happen, or it could happen, in late August of this year. So I think that's a very positive step for public education.
That's a huge undertaking as well. Will the Kansas City District and the state's handling of that, will that resemble what happened in St. Louis, or is this a different situation?
It's similar, but there are different statutes. The state has different responsibilities in St. Louis as opposed to Kansas City. The state-appointed board, or an SAB, is already in place in St. Louis. That's a three-member board. The one in Kansas City will be at least five and definitely be made up of representatives in the Kansas City area. So they're a little similar, but also different. Bottom line is, when a district does reach an unaccredited status, that's not good. And so I think that the status quo is not working and changes need to be made. And that's what happened as a result of Senate Bill 125.
Now that we're in what was termed as the interim, that time between legislative sessions, you're here in Jefferson City. We're after session. What happens during those months between May and January for you?
Well, we still remain very busy. The Monday following session, I'm in Jefferson City for the Missouri Eating Disorders Commission meeting. Other senators are doing the exact same thing. There's a lot of meetings, a lot of things we can't get to during the session, and so now this is a great time to do that. It's also a good time to visit with constituents, go out and visit factories and farms and schools, and really, it's a lot of fun to get caught up. So that's what we do. And then December 1st won't be that far away, and that's when we can file legislation. And this is a good time to look at some legislation that just didn't quite make it over the finish line to see why that happened. Are there some things we can make some changes in and kind of fine-tune it for the next year?